Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, this is John White, and here we are, Journeys of the Light in Lilydale, New York, and Talk Radio. Our producer is going to introduce our special guest tonight, who is a resident and a long-term teacher, I believe, of Qigong.
Tonight on Journeys of the Light with John White, registered medium here at Lilydale, New York, we have Tony Kozlowski. He is a 40-year practitioner of Qigong. He is teaching Qigong all year long as well as the summer in Lilydale. Tony is a local in Arkwright, New York, which is just on the edge of Fredonia. And Tony, would you like to say hi to our audience?
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for letting me represent one aspect of Qigong.
Tony, tell us a little bit about your Qigong, and how did you first come about discovering this magical spiritual art?
Well, believe it or not, I actually discovered it from a book. I was studying karate, and I wanted more. I wanted the heart that was offered, and I found a book on sale that outlined the Qigong that I presently practice, and with the help of my present karate teacher and my own looking deeply into it and seeking out other Qigong teachers along the way, I had a lot of people help me tweak it into what it is today.
Beautiful.
And it's a very healing and stress-relieving art that's very gentle.
Okay. Now, Tony, how does Qigong... Here we are at Lilydale, we're mediums. How does that affect one's mediumship, or how does that affect helping them to open up their higher self or their sacred self?
Well, occasionally a medium's job can be a bit stressful, and one of the primary aspects of Qigong is that it's very relaxing. It reduces stress. It also opens the nadis in the body, which are energy spots or sources in the body, and it clears any energy. So if a person has, say, a sore back from an old accident, it helps clear that energy. It also enlivens and opens the energy meridians in the body, which are pathways, energy pathways. But mostly it's very stress-reducing, very relaxing. It mainly focuses on the deep diaphragmatic relaxed breathing, which is very instrumental in helping a lot of mediums tune in and really do their work and connect closely with spirit.
Now, as we know, in spiritualism, we believe in spirit guides and teachers and ones that inspire us. Tony, do you have a spiritual teacher or guide that you feel sometimes that helps you, or you could say angel that helps you in this sacred practice?
I do, John. I've had various touchings in with spirit as I practice Qigong. And just this summer, because I found myself teaching more classes in meditation, in my prayer, I asked for an ascended Qigong master to overlook me and help me in my teaching of Qigong, so that I was presenting what my students really needed for the highest and best purpose.
Beautiful. Now, how does Qigong affect one's health? We know that in China and some other Eastern countries, they're using Qigong masters to help to arise the qi in people's energy field and help them with their health. Do you have any personal stories, Tony, of how Qigong has helped yourself or another person with ailments?
Well, John, there are a lot of different Qigong styles existing in the world. There are thousands of them. Some are strictly for healing other people, and some are to teach folks to do for themselves so they can heal themselves. The style I do, we can do laying on of hands and transmit healing energy to those who are in need. However, yes, I could talk to you for the next hour with examples of watching miraculous examples of healing from people who are just performing this hour-long, very relaxing form that I teach. And I know of other teachers who are excellent with just putting their hands on people and sending healing energy to them.
Thank you. If you'd like to talk to Tony about Qigong, or you can speak to John White about mediumship, and also Tony, he is also a medium, you could phone in at 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818.
Okay, Tony, we have an email from Jennifer in Erie, Pennsylvania, and she wants to know, is Qigong something that everyone can do? She has an injury, and she's not sure if it's something that she'd be able to do.
Anyone of any age in any condition can do Qigong. Now, your physical condition may require that you modify some of the positions and some of the movements that we do. I've had people in a wheelchair do my class. For people who have MS or difficulties standing, I always advocate sitting in a chair and modifying the positions. But yes, and remember also, there are thousands of different styles of Qigong, and almost all of them are very gentle, very slow-moving, very stress-reducing and relaxing. So the direct answer to your question, Jennifer, is yes, Qigong can help you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I practice something called pranayama. That's the yoga way of saying it, the pranayama exercises. And I realized that the pranayama and the breathing exercises help to purify not only the physical body, but also the emotional body. Okay. How does Qigong help the physical body as far as a purification or detoxification? And does it affect the emotional body also, Tony?
Yes, all of those comments, John. In terms of it affecting the emotional body, as I said earlier, it's very stress-reducing. And the style of Qigong that I do works very much with circulating the qi, or the body's natural energy. Every upward motion we do is an inhalation, which causes the qi to come up. Every downward motion is an exhalation, which causes the qi to flow down. And this circulation of breathing and energy, or qi circulation, circulates everything in the body, the lymph fluid, everything that needs to circulate, that needs to move. So on an emotional level, it can help settle chaotic emotions. It can help focus a person very much. And again, as I said, with the qi, the energy moving up, and then back down to the body. If you have an organ in the body, let's say the kidneys, that in Chinese terms are too hot, they have too much energy. As you do the breath work in this and the movement and exhale, the kidneys automatically give up some of that extra energy. So it can help the various organs to modify the energy they either need or need to release. So it's a rather simplistic way of expressing it, but it's true. It very much does that.
Beautiful. Now, they say that meditation is really super concentration. How does Qigong help us to concentrate?
There are styles of Qigong that focus very much on meditation. The style of Qigong that I do, which is Eight Precious Sets, or Baduan Jin, is very meditative, very slow-moving and quiet. And it's what I refer to as a moving meditation rather than sitting. But different strokes for different folks. We all have styles of meditation that help each one of us really well. So it's worth your time in exploring and looking at the different styles of Qigong and see how they feel.
What time in the day is it better to do Qigong? And is there anything to the idea that we should do it on an empty stomach as much as possible?
To answer your questions in reverse order, yes, as much as reasonably possible, we should do Qigong on an empty stomach. First of all, if you eat something very gassy, such as beans and cabbage, it's going to have an effect and you're going to find yourself somewhat unpopular with people around you. However, that's a cleansing process as well, so it's not necessarily negative. But yes, as much as possible, eating a very light breakfast in the morning before Qigong is a good idea. Maybe a piece of toast and a piece of fruit or something like that. And secondly, as far as the time of day, there are styles of Qigong that you can do any time of the day. However, the best time to do it, to really benefit the most, is early in the morning, from 5 o'clock on to about 8 o'clock.
If you are a healer, such as laying on of hands, which we do here in the healing temple at Lilydale, or that you're also practicing other forms of healing, which is energy healing, does Qigong help you focus your mind and transmit that spiritual healing?
Yes, it does very much, John. Again, with the main style that I practice, as we inhale, bring the energy up, and then exhale, letting the chi flow downwards, we become very aware of energy flow, and we also become very aware of how our breathing affects that energy flow. And we learn actually to direct our energy flow by our breath and how deeply or shallowly we choose to breathe. And also we learn to direct it by our intention.
Okay, beautiful. So Qigong is also, you are saying, is a form of meditation through movement.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, we're going to stay on the subject of Qigong, but you also practice Tai Chi. Now, what is the difference, or is there a combination between Tai Chi and Qigong? What does that word Qi mean, really?
Qi is energy, just like for yoga practitioners, prana is the word that people use for their life energy. We all have prana. We all have qi. Qi is the Chinese culture's term for this life energy. The difference between Tai Chi and Qigong, Tai Chi tends to be constantly moving, constantly flowing. Qigong tends to be broken up into somewhat more static individual steps. They are both very beneficial. They both help very much with stress reduction, balance, and a great variety of things, more than I can mention at this point.
Okay, beautiful. So here at Lilydale, Tony's going to be part of the program, and he's actually teaching it here at Lilydale. Again, Tony, when is the exact day that you're teaching your Qigong here at Lilydale?
I will be teaching starting this Saturday. I will be teaching every Saturday from 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning at the Octagon Building on Library Street. And I understand there's no one following my class immediately. So if it takes a little bit more time for extra instruction or questions, at this point I'm understanding that we can slightly overflow that time within reason.
Okay. Beautiful. If you'd like to speak to Tony about Qigong or other matters about Lilydale, and also mediumship, by the way, you can call us at 818-739-8818. 818-739-8818. This may be an unusual question, Tony, but how long has Qigong been in China? And what does it come from China, or where does it actually come from?
Qigong in its form as we understand Qigong comes from pre-Christian eras. And the reason I say that is because Qigong positions and drawings have been isolated in some of the caves in China with carbon dating from pre-Christian eras. So Qigong as a healing agent has been practiced for years. I would have to say millennia. And again, I want to add another comment in here. Qigong is not better than Tai Chi. Tai Chi is not better than Qigong. They are each wonderful in their own aspect. It just matters what is most convenient and which of the practices draw you. But again, they have both been in, although Qigong itself has been in existence longer than Tai Chi, they're both wonderful.
Tony, you were saying that there is a form of Qigong that you could simply sit down for those people who may have a little bit of a disability in your life at this time, and they still want to practice it. Is there a specific type of Qigong that, and maybe you could, maybe it's hard to do it without visually seeing you, but can you explain one of the processes?
I can, John. First of all, the style that I teach, eight precious sets, can be done seated. The person doing has to modify the position somewhat, but it can be done seated. As I said, I've had people on a wheelchair do it. Secondly, I do a totally seated form of Qigong called a, you're going to love this title, Vitamin Qi, which is a great way to start your morning. Even if you're going to do any other form of exercise, it takes about 10 to 12 minutes to do, and it's very simple. And one of the exercises is going to the upper longevity point, which is just under the armpit, and just patting it about 40 or 50 times done on each side. That is the upper longevity point, and you're directly affecting your longevity and the heart, the health of your heart by doing it that way.
Okay, beautiful. Now, when you're doing your Qigong, are there different philosophies? Are you supposed to breathe through your nose or through your mouth, or does it in fact matter?
In the eight precious sets that I mostly gravitate to, we do all the breathing through the nose, and we keep the tongue gently against the roof of the mouth because there's a major cranial nerve bundle going through the roof of the mouth, and by touching the tongue against it, in esoteric terms, it's as if we complete the body's electronic system, and the chi flow that comes up with inhalation can more easily flow through and down with the exhalation. And John, what was the other part of your question, please?
Through the nose, and again, I think you really explained it very well. Breathing through the nose versus through the mouth. One other part.
John, there's another part to that. Breathing through the nose keeps the throat from drying out with the passage of breath, so that you don't end up with a scratchy throat or you don't end up coughing through the practice. Secondly, there are more qi or energy receptors in the nose than in the mouth. So when you breathe through the nose, more of the ambient qi or energy that you're breathing in is making contact with you. It's very important to be careful where you're practicing Qigong because of that, because it is energy based. So if the neighbors next are having a knockdown drag out discussion, it might be wise to find a more peaceful place to do the Qigong. But that doesn't mean you have to worry as you do it.
It sounds like a real science. It is a real science.
It's a science, yeah.
It is definitely a science. How does Qigong help with one's longevity? Not that necessarily someone is going to be living longer, but you could say the quality of their life while they're in the world. How does that affect the quality of their life?
Qigong very strongly affects both longevity and quality of life, John. The longevity, of course, is dependent on a lot of things, including genetics. However, there are Qigong masters in China who live to be well over 100 years old. This country is a little faster paced, so we eat up our energy a little bit faster. However, Qigong will definitely give you better longevity. It will help recover from illnesses practiced consistently. And it also helps overall physically, because if you find a Qigong practice that really works for you and you practice it consistently, you will find your body feeling lighter, more lithe, more supple. You'll find your breath being deeper and charging more, and you'll find your lifestyle changing a little bit in that you have a tendency to be more mindful of what you eat, what you put in your body.
Beautiful. Okay, thanks. We're going to get back to Tony soon, but now we're going to talk about what's going on around Lily Dell.
You are listening to Journeys of the Light with John White and guest speaker Tony Kozlowski. Tony is a 40-year practitioner of Qigong, and he teaches Qigong here at Lilydale every week. Tony, can you tell us what day and time and location you teach?
There will be every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 o'clock, and it will be at the Octagon Building on Library Street. There's no parking right at the Octagon Building, but there's very convenient parking quite close to it, just up the street.
Thank you so much, Tony. And aside from Tony's Qigong classes, we have so much going on here at Lilydale. Every Sunday we have church services, both at the National Spiritualist Church, the Fellowships of the Spirit, and the Church of the Living Spirit. Journeys of the Light is one of four radio shows here at Lilydale. We also have Colleen Vandersteiden Tuesdays at 8 p.m., Embracing Your Essence. On Wednesdays at 10 a.m., we have Wednesdays with Willa White, a registered medium here at Lilydale. And Friday mornings at 10 a.m., we have Celestial Fridays with registered medium Celeste Elliott. All of these hosts are registered mediums here at Lilydale, which means they have gone through an extensive testing vetting process to become a registered medium. If you have any questions for either John White or Tony Kozlowski, give us a call at 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. And here's John.
Okay, so here we are back on the air with Tony. Tony, I used to teach Tai Chi here at Lilydale, and I really did find that it helped with my mediumship and my ability to focus. Now, you know that yoga connects the body and the brain together through the nervous system and helps you to focus your mind. How is yoga and Tai Chi or Qigong related?
They're all related, John. They all work a little differently. They have different names, but they're all related. They all have a good end result. Yoga tends to hold a person in a particular position for a little longer time than the other two. The Tai Chi tends to be constantly flowing and moving, but at a very slow, graceful pace. And the Qigong, there are many styles of Qigong out there. The style I teach, again, is very slow moving with a slight stop between each one of the movements. So while they each function just a little bit differently, they all have the same effect of slowing the heartbeat, deepening the respiration, getting maximum blood flow going through the body. Because we have a saying, where attention goes. Where energy goes, blood flow goes. So you will find that particular process in all three, Tai Chi, Qigong, and yoga.
Now, Tony, in yoga, sometimes it is encouraged to hold the breath. In your form, do you actually hold the breath sometimes, or is it constantly inflowing and outflowing?
There are two types of breathing in the main style, eight precious sets that I do. During the warm-up exercises, after each one of the exercises, we take a deep, full diaphragmatic breath, but a gentle breath, and hold that breath in for a count of six, and then slowly exhale. during the Qigong itself, the eight precious sets, as we inhale up, we hold that stretch for a count of three, and then exhale down into a stretch. Holding that for a count of three, and then inhale up into the next movement.
Something that's very popular today, or a saying, is called mindfulness. Mindfulness. So mindfulness is, for instance, in Eastern techniques, it says that you are not your thoughts, you have thoughts. You're not your emotions, you have emotions. You're not your physical body or your five senses. So mindfulness has also entered into psychology. And we both know that mindfulness is a very much a part of Qigong. Can you kind of put that in a way through the mind of a Qigong master?
Sure. And to give you a slightly off-key answer, I start and finish every Qigong class I do with a bow. The bow is not to me as a guru, because I am not. The bow is to the light within the practitioner. The bow is in honor of my traditional training. It's also in honor of all those in this lifetime who have helped me study and improve and tweak this style. The bow is also because if you've had a really horrible day, let's say your son just entered a brand new car, and I'm being silly now, but the dog ate the cat, okay, you can walk into your session, whether it be Qigong, Tai Chi, or yoga, and when you put your feet together and your hands together and bow, you go inwards, and all of those things that have happened to upset you on the outside world go away. You are focusing, you are practicing mindfulness in what you're doing. Now, by being mindful of what you're doing, you're getting the most benefit of it, whether it be any one of those three that we've talked about. And the bow is very useful also in closing off the Qigong, because it's like stepping out of the meditation and changing your awareness, changing your mindfulness. Also, yoga, holding a person in a position for a little longer time with a deep breath, creates a mindfulness, because you become more aware of your body, what a particular posture is doing for you, what your muscles are saying in that posture, and what they need to release or relax. So mindfulness plays all through these three styles that we do. And the styles definitely help you with being more mindful of what you're doing.
In some meditation practices and also some yoga techniques, they use visualization. Okay? Do you use visualization when you're doing your Qigong?
Not for the most part, John. In this particular style, the eight precious sets Qigong, I don't use a great deal of visualization. However, there are a couple of the specific movements. One is the last one, called Grip the Swallow's Egg, in which we do heavily rely on visualization. Partly because Grip the Swallow's Egg is a grounding press, is a grounding movement, so it helps ground the person, and you're really mindful, there's that word again, mindful, of what you're doing and stepping out into the everyday world as you're finishing.
Okay, we have an email question from Jill in Erie, Pennsylvania. Jill asks, with all the various healing energy forms out there, such as Reiki, Qigong, what is your thought on the idea that the healer is really only assisting the person sitting for the healing? Also, what is your opinion on a healer being trained in more than one style of healing and then using what they know for the healing?
For me to answer that question, I want to say, first of all, for multiple training, I personally totally agree. I'm Reiki certified, third degree Reiki. I've worked in the Healing Temple of Lilydale hands-on. I've studied Qigong healing and some other practices. And although I have to be very careful, in New York State, people who manipulate have to be massage therapists, but I've been trained in reflexology and some others. It's very, very useful, because if you're working with one so-called technique and it's not quite working, with multiple trainings, you can always shift gears to a slightly different approach and find yourself really reaching the target that you need to. So, yes, I'm all in favor of a person studying much more than one. As an example, in the martial arts, I studied Kung Fu, I studied Karate, I studied Tai Chi, I studied multiple styles of Qigong, and yet I settled down to one style of Qigong, incorporating many of those other things I've learned. So I personally totally agree with a person learning and studying as much as they comfortably can. My teacher has a saying, take the bets, leave the rest.
Okay, beautiful. Now, we know that the chi energy, or the life force, can complement any form of intuition, mediumship, and healing. Do you feel, and have you seen how your chi kung has affected or empowered and helped the people with their healing modality?
John, do we have time for me to detail one healing situation?
Yes, we do.
Okay. I was teaching at Chautauqua Institution on the summer program, teaching a week at a time. And on Friday of this particular week, a man came up to me at the beginning of my class, which started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he told me, I quote, I'm a doctor from Washington, D.C. 3 years ago, I was in a car accident, injured my back. He said, I have been in screaming pain every day of my life since. He said, and I'm quoting him, I've been in Europe, I've been in China, I've seen witch doctors, I've seen every therapist you can think of. Unless I take these mind-numbing drugs every morning, I cannot move. I cannot go through the day. He went on to tell me, I've taken your class 4 times. He said, today is Friday. I cannot manipulate if I don't take my medicine in the morning. He said, it's Friday at 3 o'clock. I've taken your class 4 times. Today, I have not taken any medication. I have had no pain today at all. He went on to occasionally keep in touch with me and let me know that as long as he did the Qigong, his medication needs were very, very light. He was not totally without pain, but very, very much relieved. And I have had the pleasure, I'm not taking credit. I will take credit for showing him the Qigong, but he's the one who did it and eased his pain by doing it. So Qigong has a price. It exacts a price from you. And that price is the time needed to perform it, whatever style you learn, whether it be Tai Chi, Qigong, or yoga. It's more than well worth the price for the benefit it brings you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tony.
And for all those Qigong practitioners out there and all those spiritual and energy healers, we know how much love is a big factor in healing. And John would like to make an announcement about that love and sharing the love with everyone.
We all know what happened recently in Las Vegas. And being mediums and spiritualists, we know that we pass on to the next dimension and that people like that come and see mediums and mystics to help them to understand things. Prayer, meditation, in your own way, also helps. We cannot die. We just go into another dimension. So we're going to play a little song, Bridge Over Troubled Waters by Keith Urban, which I feel I've heard a lot. It's almost coming like one of the theme songs of this tragic event. God bless America.
In your eyes, I will travel. I'm home. Somewhere. In your eyes, I will lay me down.
That's for all our friends who have lost people recently in Las Vegas. God bless them.
And Tony, as a Qigong healer, we'd like to ask you about the power of love and forgiveness in your healing practice.
Love and forgiveness are the mainstays of any of these practices. And on a simplistic level, to do Tai Chi, Yoga, or Qigong, you have to love yourself and care enough about yourself to make yourself better. Also, because the style of Qigong that I personally do is so meditative, I can be sending healing love to the whole world as I do it. The same thing with Tai Chi. You can be have your mind focused on sending healing love, healing energy going out from you as you perform that practice. Also, well, go ahead, John. The one different comment I wanted to make, for any of you out there who might be interested in any of these practices, especially Qigong, go on the internet. There are thousands of different styles available. Definitely, we'd like to see you here in Lilydale on Saturday morning. But every large city, almost every community, has a Qigong instructor. Now, obviously, you have to somehow like the instructor that you're seeing. That's a prerequisite. But other than that, almost any style can very much benefit you. And as far as love and compassion, again, you can have love and compassion by bringing a friend or friends into that fold of yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, who might benefit by the practice. Anyone you see grieving, anyone you see having a really rough time with any issues in their life, are really benefited by these practices.
Is there some specific Qigong breathing exercises that affect different organs? Is that, or is that too much of a general question?
Well, I understand the question, John. And yes, there are styles of Qigong in which you do different types of breathing exercises that I do that will affect different organs. Also, in many, many Qigong teaching, each organ has a particular color. Each organ has a particular sound. So in some of the Qigong styles, I personally don't practice this, but in some of the Qigong styles, you practice by sitting on the chair, taking a deep, gentle diaphragmatic breath, and then toning the sound of that organ, which is sending energy to that organ and also vibrating that organ, thereby blessing it.
Now, when you say toning, what is that for people who don't understand that term? What do you mean by toning?
As an example, in toning, for one organ, you might make the sound, om. For another organ, you might tone the sound, shu. And of course, that toning is held as long as comfortably possible. And there's another sound, toning, sounding, these toning vocals are very meditative, but they're also very restorative and helpful for each of the organs. So if you have a particular organ issue, aside from circulating the qi, it would be very helpful to learn which color and which tone vibrates with that organ.
Excellent. You know, Tony, it reminds me of one of Einstein's sayings. It's all energy, that's all there is to it. Create the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but to create that reality. This is not philosophy, it's physics. So are you saying that you could say that each organ has a certain vibration in energy? Are there mantras or sacred sounds, mantras, that you know of or that is in the philosophy of Qigong also?
Oh, yes, John, there are specific mantras that help various parts of the body and that help various organs within the body. Would you please repeat the first part of your question?
Okay. Are there very specific mantras that vibrate with different organs? Remember, it's all a frequency. So what we're asking, do certain mantras create certain frequencies to affect different energy bodies?
The answer to that statement and question is yes, there are frequencies. Every organ has its own frequency and actually has its own sound. And the really well-trained Chinese doctors can detect over 30 pulses within the body generated by the organs. Also, there are certain Chinese doctors who are trained in hearing the vibration and picking up that vibration of the organs. American medicine doesn't really look at that in depth yet, but I feel that it's coming. People are paying more attention to it. Yes, John. Every organ, every aspect of the body has its own vibration, has its own frequency, has its own sound. And by mantras and by toning and by color, whatever works for the individual, but we can send healing to that specific organ or area of the body with the mantras.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tony. Tony, do you want to tell us again when you're teaching your class here at Lilydale? And also at the fellowship, by the way.
Sure. Thank you, John. Yes, again, we're teaching Qigong Saturday morning, starting this Saturday from 8 to 9 in the morning at the Octagon Building on Library Street. Also on Wednesday evening from 5:45 to 6:45, we're teaching the same Qigong class at Fellowship of the Spirit Learning Center, which is on Dale Drive, on the way to the Dale.
Okay, thank you. And our producer is going to give some announcements of what's going on around Lilydale.
And for those of you guys out there who don't know what the Dale is, that's what we locals refer to as Lilydale. Lilydale is known as the Dale. And we have so much going on here, even during the off season. And the off season is the fall, winter, and spring. The summertime is extremely busy with thousands of people coming in to visit and get readings from mediums, take classes. During the off season, we have wonderful teachers like Tony Kozlowski teaching Qigong. And on Wednesday nights, we have the healing service, which is followed by messages from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. in the Healing Temple. Again, Wednesday nights from 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., a healing service in the Healing Temple here at Lilydale. On Sundays, there are three different church services. The National Church, which is the Lilydale Spiritualist Church, has their service at 10 a.m. The Church of the Living Spirit, also at 10 a.m. And the Fellowships of the Spirit right outside the gate with the purple awning. You can't miss it. It's right across from the lake. Beautiful. 6 p.m. So come on down. Every Sunday, we have three different church services for you to choose from. They're all wonderful. And then on October 7th at 2 p.m., we have the Lilydale Annual Blessings of the Pets, Saturday, October 7th at 2 p.m. This will be at the Wolf Clan Stump Circle. All participants will receive a healing ribbon, prayer card, and a pet treat. Please bring a donation of pet food or money with proceeds to Lakeshore Humane Society and North Chautauqua Canine Rescue. All pets must be on a leash or in a pet carrier and be pet and people friendly. Please be considerate of your pet's comfort and needs and bring water, waste pickup bags for any unexpected accidents, bring a lawn chair, blanket, and umbrella in case of rain. And if your pet cannot attend, bring a photo to honor their spirit. Again, that's the Lilydale Annual Blessings of the Pet, Saturday, October 7th at 2 p.m. at Lilydale at the Wolf Clan Stump Circle. We would love to see you here. And you are listening to Journeys of the Light with John White and his guest, Tony Kozlowski, a 40-year practitioner and teacher of Qigong.
Tony, is there any particular age that one could start doing Qigong?
My first answer to that, John, would be as soon as possible. However, that takes into effect the child's attention span and their physical condition. But I would say I'd want to start introducing a youngster to Qigong outside the home, maybe at 6 or 7. But for a Qigong, a private Qigong practitioner, keep the youngsters around you while you're doing your Qigong. Let them learn by example and let them start asking you, Mom, Dad, Brother, what are you doing? Because that's a great learning process.
Okay, so if you'd like to call in and talk to Tony at 818-739-8818. Tony is also a medium here, a visiting medium at Lilydale. So 818-739-8818. Tony, how does Qigong affect your daily life? Do you feel a change in your energy, and is consistency a part of the practice?
Consistency is very much a part of the practice. Even if I have a day that's very time crowded, I start my day with what I call vitamin Qi, or the seated Qigong, which takes me about 12 minutes. I prefer to have the time to do the 8 precious sets, but there have been mornings when I didn't have much time, so I would do 2 or 4 of each of the 8 precious sets rather than the whole thing. It's not as great as doing the whole process, but it's definitely something. And yes, John, it does impact my day. It impacts my focus, and it impacts my energy and settling me and making very grounded and focused.
Beautiful. Now, we know the meridians are something that most of us have heard about through acupuncture. How does Qigong and the Riddhiums have in common?
There are styles of Qigong that work very definitely with the meridians. As an example, Master Robert Peng, who teaches up here in the Dale and at the fellowships occasionally, addresses meridians very strongly in his energy flow. The style that I practice does not deliberately address the meridians. However, each one of the postures that we adopt in the practice does move energy in the meridians and does address the meridians, even though we don't necessarily speak of it. So, but yes, there are styles of Qigong that very strongly and deeply address the specific meridians as well.
Tony, are there some things about your Qigong that somehow that we haven't got to, that we haven't expressed, that you do like to express to those listeners here in Lilydale?
John, I feel that anyone of any age, granted, if they're too young, you have to watch the attention span, be aware of the attention span. But I feel that anyone of any age can do it in any physical condition. And again, I want to point out that I have had people in a wheelchair practice this. Now, in those cases, we have had to modify the stretch. However, the deep breathing, the gentle stretching, however a person can stretch, does wonders for what goes on in the body, not only the energy flow, but anything in the body that needs to flow to support health.
You're listening to Journeys of the Light with Reverend John White, a registered medium here at Lilydale, and Tony Kozlowski, a longtime teacher of Qigong. Tony, we have an email question from Dawn up in Canada. She would like to know, is it possible that Qigong can help her heal her MS? But she has a lot of trouble with that. She's very sleepy and, she's got a lot of issues going on with that. Would that help her?
I'm going to give you a very qualified yes on that. At the present, I also teach Qigong down at a yoga center in Dunkirk. And I have two people with MS deliberately coming. And while they still have some of the symptoms of MS, it does help them. It helps them deal with the symptoms, and it reduces the severity of the symptoms. I have a lady who is almost cured of fibromyalgia by doing it consistently. I say that very carefully because you never really cured it, those issues, but her symptoms were so relieved by this, it was amazing. And the same thing with the MS. And Dawn, there may be different styles that might work a little better than other styles. I would suggest to you again, go on the internet, check with some various Qigong teachers. I will say that the style that I do, Baduan Jin, or Eight Precious Sets, has been very much known to help people dealing with MS. But again, look around, see who's out there doing what with the Qigong for you.
Okay, beautiful. And thanks, Dawn, for that very, 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 very good question. Would you say that all these spiritual practices are for the purpose of healing and helping people? And just like different meditations work for different people, you could also say that different forms, like you were saying, of Qigong could help an individual also. So it is good, again, that we're open-minded and we find the right type of teacher and the right Qigong that vibrates to our energy. Now, we'd like to thank you for being with us tonight, Tony. Are there any closing words of wisdom that you would like to share with us?
Yes, John. I'd like to say that I'm a lazy healer, because everyone who goes through this Qigong class is healing themselves by doing it of whatever issue they're dealing with. And yes, I'll take credit for bringing them the healing agent. I give them the credit for doing it, learning it and doing it. But it is a very definite spiritual process. I consider it part of my ministry to go ahead and teach this healing agent to as many people as I can. Thank you.
Okay, John and Tony, we have a caller, Virginia from Buffalo. Virginia has a question for Tony. First of all, she wants to make it known that Harvard Medical School says this is all real, so it must be true. And she also has a question for you about love and forgiveness. So, Tony, here's Virginia.
Well, thank you. Hello.
Hi, Tony. I'll try to be quick, which is difficult for me because I'm detail-oriented.
Virginia, excuse me, I'm going to interrupt you. I am having difficulty hearing you. Would you please start over?
I'm going to try to be quick. We only have a few minutes.
We've got you on speaker.
Okay. My question is about love and forgiveness. Now, when you're doing Qigong, because I know with Tai Chi, it's kind of hard to think of anything other than what you're doing, because I have done that.
Sure.
Now, with Qigong, can I, like, pray and think about love and forgiveness and sending it out to the world and things like that?
Yes, you can. I made a comment about the lady who had fibromyalgia, who was almost totally healed. She doesn't like, because we do various repetitions of each of the movements, she hates counting. She doesn't like counting. So she has a list of people she prays for. And while she's doing the repetition of each movement, she prays for specific people on that list. Then when she comes to the list, she knows that she's done the required number of that movement, so she goes on to the next.
Okay, one more quick question. How long will you be teaching your classes on Saturday morning at Lilydale?
I will be teaching those as long as Lilydale keeps me.
Well, I hope that's
as long as we have interested people and Lilydale feels the worth of it.
Well, I just hope I can get out there soon. It probably won't be this month, but hopefully next month, Tony. This is a wonderful program, and Reverend White, I just love you, and thank you for having this show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and I'm going to hand the phone to Reverend White.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you.
Okay, I'm done.
Thank you for joining us at Lilydale Radio. At different weeks, we'll have different guests. Again, there are other mediums here doing shows, and here they are.
The next show will be Celestial Fridays with Celeste Elliott, a registered medium here at Lilydale, at 10 a.m. every Friday. Again, Celestial Fridays with Celeste Elliott, 10 a.m. on Fridays. And you can call in to any of these radio shows. The number is the same for all of them, 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. And if you're having trouble downloading the website, try Firefox. Here's John.
Okay. Again, everyone out there, thank you very much. And thank you for our special guest, Tony. And we're both actually, I used to teach Tai Chi, and Tony teaches Tai Chi and Qigong now. And so we're really kind of brothers. Again, thank you, Tony, very much for being on with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Napa Know How. A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.